Study. We're back in 1 Kings tonight. Back in 1 Kings chapter number 5. And we're just going to take a look at the first 5 verses tonight, Lord willing. And as you turn there, I'll look to see when you're ready. Amen. 1 Kings chapter number 5. Been off of it for a few weeks, taking a look at some other things. That happens occasionally. 1 Kings 5, verse number 1. It says, And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon. For he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father. And notice this. For Hiram was ever a lover of David. Here's a pagan king that loved David. Okay? It's important. Verse 2. And Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, Thou knowest how that David, my father, could not build an house unto the name of the Lord his God for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. And behold, I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build an house unto my name. One thing we will see about Solomon from reading about him in Scripture is that he was a builder. We'll see him build several different things. He was a builder. And in this section, Solomon was about to undertake the most important construction project of his life, and that's the building of the Jewish temple. And chapter 5 gives us some of the events leading to the starting of this project, but in reality, this project began with Solomon's father David. I mean, the actual project began then. We'll see how David's life and relationships had a lasting impact that helped Solomon in this monumental task of building the temple. And I want us to see the impact that the Lord God can and us can have on others also. So that's we're going to take a look. The name of the message, if you want to title it, is The Impact God and Us Can Have. The impact that God and us can have. First thing we see there in verse number 1, we see the love and respect that Hiram, king of Tyre, had for King David. Hiram was the king, as it says, was the king of Tyre. And the word Tyre means rock. The city was built upon a rocky island. Hiram was a Phoenician, and the Phoenicians produced a variety of things such as purple dye and fabrics and metal goods and silver, gold, iron, tin, and lead, and they were very good in making ornamental stuff like that with those type of metals and all. And we see that the wealth of the world at that time flowed in and out of Tyre. They had great warriors that defended that place, but the Phoenicians were not worshipers of Jehovah God. Now later on we'll see that it's quite possible that Hiram may have become a believer. We're not going to see it tonight, but we'll see it later as we see some other things. But we see that David's life had a lasting impact on this king's life. This king loved David. It said there he was ever a lover of David. Now, the question in my mind as I was studying this was why? Why was he a lover of David? I mean, inquiring minds want to know, right? we like to know what caused him to do that. You hold your place here in 1 Kings 5 and flip back with me to 2 Samuel chapter number 5. We first saw Hiram briefly in 2 Samuel chapter number 5 in verse number 10 through 12. 2 Samuel 5 and Let's take a look at verse number 10 through 12. 2 Samuel 5:10 says, "And David went on and grew great," notice this, "and the Lord God of hosts was with him. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees and carpenters and masons, and they built David a house." So they've already had one construction project there in Israel, and that was to build David a house. And verse 12 says, "And David," notice this is important, "David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake." Now, this is the only time that Hiram is mentioned up until our text in 1 Kings 5. He's also mentioned in a parallel passage in 1 Kings 5 over in 2 Chronicles chapter number 2. Now, there doesn't appear to be much here at first glance, but I want you to note two particular things that are stated here that I pointed out while we were reading that I believe shed some light into the answer of why Hiram loved David. Number one is that there in 2 Samuel 5:10, it says, "And the Lord God of hosts was with him," speaking of the Lord being with David. Now, that's a very important statement. The Lord God was with him. That is the source of favor that David experienced in his dealings with Hiram. The Lord's blessings was on David's life. There's no favor like the favor that comes from the Lord. Amen. I mean, he gives you favor. And when I saw this, my mind went to another great example that can be seen, and that's the life of Joseph. Remember Joseph, as he was taken into slavery, he was sold by his brothers into slavery and carried off into Egypt. If you remember in Genesis 39, verse 2 and 3, it says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man." And he also goes on to say in that same, in there in verse 3, it says, "And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand." And then Genesis 39, verse 5, says that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. So, you know, there was a blessing there just by association with Joseph that he received. And it says, "The blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field." And then Genesis 39:21 says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." And Genesis 39, verse 23 says, "Because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." So the Lord was with Joseph, and here we see the Lord was with David. And because of that relationship with the Lord allowed a secular relationship to flourish there between those two servants of God. But not only do we see it in their lives, but we also see it in the life of Daniel. Got to thinking I was thinking about, well, you know, this is not the first time this popped up, and I remember Joseph, and then I remember Daniel. Daniel 1:9 says, "Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs." You know, David's relationship with God, and God is the one that helped that relationship with the prince of the eunuchs there. And then Daniel chapter number 6 in verse number 3. So then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. What excellent spirit was in him? I believe it was the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit was there with Daniel at that time. But something else we see here is found there in 2 Samuel 5 and verse number 12. It says, "And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom." Now, here we see an acknowledgement by David of the Lord's working in his life. David was not one that when he saw what was happening, he said, "Well, boy, I must be a pretty good personality to have such a good relationship with Hiram. He didn't say that at all. You know, he wasn't bragging on himself. He bragged on God. Is that important? Yes, it is. I mean, this is humility and the fear of the Lord. I mean, when he perceived, hey, God's doing something here. And the opposite of that would be pride and self-exaltation. And we know that Proverbs 22, verse number 4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And God brought him into honor with Hiram. And we see again the same example in the life of Joseph. Joseph said in Genesis 41:52, he says, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Yeah. He pointed to God. He didn't say, well, I'm just so smart, they picked me. He could have said that, but that would have been wrong on so many counts. Genesis 45, verse number 8, says, so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. That's him speaking to his brothers. You know, he said, you thought you sent me here, but you didn't send me here. God sent me here, and the Lord is the one who is working in my life. And we see it also in the life of Daniel. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Okay, so he, even when he was early on interpreting dreams for Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, he realized that those dreams were not being interpreted based on his good knowledge. It was based upon what God was doing. And then the King Darius in Daniel 6:22, my God hath sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. He saw that the God was the one that gave him the protection. So out of Hiram's love for David, he showed favor for David's son Solomon, and the working of the Lord in David's life that brought him into favor with his king continued to have an impact on Hiram even after David was in the grave. Here, you know, David's no longer around, but just the mention of David's name, when he thought about David's son, he'd heard that David's son, Solomon, was on his father's throne. And he sent these messengers to see if he could be a help. And Solomon sent back the message. And we can know the great truth here. Our life lived for the Lord can have a great and lasting impact on the life of others. When we have the Lord in our life and His Holy Spirit is filling our life, His working in our life can continue to impact and influence lives even after we're in the grave. We know that Hiram showed Solomon favor for David's sake. I'm going to say that again. Hiram showed Solomon favor for David's sake. It didn't have anything to do with what Solomon did. It was all about David. Now, I want you to consider for a moment how many friends and loved ones have been saved after a godly Christian went home to be with the Lord. I know that was the case with my dad's life. His friend that lived right down the road from me that he had witnessed to for years and years, never could get him to get saved. He got saved at my dad's funeral. And incidentally, he died a year later. He just right after he got saved, he contracted a very bad blood disease and lasted right about a year. And so my dad was gone, but the testimony that my dad left gave him the impetus to get saved. You know, when you're a part of God's family, and not only that, but you are walking with Him and allowing Him to come shining through in your life, it can greatly affect others that you come into contact with. It allows you to leave a godly legacy behind that can continue to have an impact on both your family as well as others. So Hiram was still impacted by David's life, and now Solomon, his son, was benefited by that same impact. And so he benefited his son and had a relationship with Hiram at the same time. So we see the love and respect that Hiram, king of Tyre, had for King David. Second thing we see in verses 2 through 5, we see Solomon's message to Hiram to gain his help. He sent this message back. Look back at our text there in 1 Kings 5, verse number 2. It says, "And Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, Thou knowest how that David my father..." You notice how he inserts his dad's name early on in his request. You know, when you really like somebody, when you have a good relationship established, when their name comes up, it just kind of does something to you, doesn't it? Well, I'm sure that's what Solomon was counting on here. But we see that there's several key elements involved in this message which show the wisdom that the Lord gave unto Solomon. Number one, knowing the love that Hiram had for his father, Solomon mentions David in his message. Now, God would not let David build his temple. We know that because David was a man of war and had shed much blood. But that did not prevent David in the preparation process of what his son would do in his stead. In fact, we'll see before his death, David began purchasing building materials. He had stocked many of the supplies needed until such time as God would allow Solomon to begin construction. But there were some things that you had to wait until you were going to start constructing. And that's what he was taking a look to Hiram for. Look at, let's see here, 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29. That's the very last chapter of 1 Chronicles. Look at verse 2. Let's look at verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 says, "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and brass for the things of brass, the iron for the things of iron, and wood for the things of wood, onyx stones, and stones to be set, glistering stones, and of a diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house." So, he was gathering up, but he put his own offering in there too. Amen. But we see that David began that until such time that God would allow Solomon to begin construction. And it may have been known as Solomon's temple, but God put the desire to build it on David's heart first. God gave the blueprint to David. Look at the previous chapter there, 1 Chronicles 28 and verse number 19. This is what he had to say. He says, "All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern." David said to Solomon, his son, "Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." Now, when we take a look at the building of the actual temple, there's a lot of detail that's given. I mean, a lot of detail. And you think about what it took to construct the house of God. It was a big project. It was bigger than Solomon, but wasn't bigger than God. Amen. And so David passed the plans on to Solomon. Look there in 1 Chronicles 28 in verse number 10 through 12. Look at 1 Chronicles 28:10 says, "Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary." He said, "Be strong and do it." And David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch, and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, of all the chambers round about, and of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of the dedicated things." So here he passes this stuff on to Solomon. So knowing the love that Hiram had for his father, Solomon mentions David in his message. He knows that he needs some additional stuff. Look back at our text at verse number 4. And we see that knowing the peace that the Lord had given him, Solomon mentions that peace. Look at verse number 4. 1 Kings 5:4. He says, "But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent." Boy, that must have been nice. No, you know, his dad was a man of war, fighting all the time, but he was a man of peace. He was able to have peace. God gave peace and rest to Solomon. What a blessing. Just the sound of peace and rest is kind of calming, isn't it? I mean, just the words, peace, rest. You know, God gives those of us who are his children peace and rest in our souls. I mean, we know that God gave peace and rest to Solomon, and that's a blessing, but God also gives us as his children peace and rest in our souls. Many people are desperate to find peace and rest from the burden of the guilt of their sin that they carry, but they seek it in all the wrong places. Isaiah 57:20-21 says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." So peace and rest are not found, you know, in the things of this world, such as liquor and drugs. You know, people try to find it in a bottle, or they try to find it in shooting something up in their arm. But listen, the burden of sin is too heavy for Jim Beam or Jack Daniels to do anything but make it worse. And the only thing that Bud will make you wiser to is that it's not the answer. And Miller will assure you of a low life rather than a high life. Amen. We know that for sure. But the burden of sin is too heavy for marijuana, heroin, cocaine, or meth, or any other drug to do anything but compound one's problems. We've seen people that compounded the problems in their life. They would try to mask the hurt in their soul and do it with these things, and it just doesn't work. But listen, it's not too heavy for Christ. Christ can lift sin's burden and give one rest. Jesus invited folks in Matthew 11:28-29. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." So, you know, when you truly put your faith in Christ, along with it comes God's peace and his rest. It's available for when problems and trials come. It's available for when disappointments and heartaches come. It's available in times of loneliness or in times of chaos and confusion. And the Lord God in David's life impacted King Hiram to have a love for him that eventually helped his son fulfill the task that the Lord told David to pass down to his son. And that's a remarkable story of the impact that God in us can have on those around us. Amen. All right, that's our Bible study for this evening. Let's pull back out the prayer list.